Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what is known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So the story of Cornelius and Peter to the uninformed reader may seem like a far-fetched story, but behind this story, there is an amazing plan of God for the entire world unfolding right before Peter's eyes. The Jews, the chosen children of God, commissioned by God to be a special treasure, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation, were about to have a whole lot of company in the house of God, the dreaded Gentiles. And this was absurd to many of the Jews because of the idolatry, perversion, paganism associated with the Gentiles throughout history. But God's ways are different than the ways of mankind. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And perhaps one of the most recognized verses in the Bible, John 3:16, declares God's love for the world, and this includes the Gentiles. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So those listed as whoever's include those outside of the chosen people of God, the Gentiles. So Peter's going to kick off this effort to invite the Gentiles into the family of God, as Isaiah said in many places through his book. Here are a few of these verses, Isaiah 11:10. And in the day there shall be a root of Jesse, that's Jesus, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Remember, Jesus said, Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Isaiah 60, verse 3, And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And there's many more verses in Isaiah and other places that talk about this relationship with the Gentiles coming in the future. So Peter, being unaware of this, is about to have his boat rocked. Acts 10:9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. We notice that Peter is up on the rooftop where houses usually had a patio of some sort, and he was praying, and the sixth hour is noon. Peter praying indicates that he's seeking God, giving thanks, etc., doing what a child of God should do, but he fell into what is translated as a trance, and the original word is ecstasis. Sounds like ecstasy. It's also translated amazed or astonished or bewildered in other parts of the New Testament. So something is happening to Peter as he stands bewildered. Then he receives a vision to eat animals that are forbidden in Scripture to eat. They were unclean for the Jews to eat. Verse 14, But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. So Peter has this thing with three times things happening. Three times he betrayed him, three times Jesus asked him if he loved me, and now three times he sees his vision. So God has thrown Peter a curveball. Peter is now realizing he must receive unclean things that have been determined by God to be clean. And he will discover this vision was not about unclean food. Rather, the unclean people are now being made clean. Verse 17. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and called out as to whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. Now, Peter is staying with a man named Simon, and Peter's Jewish or Hebrew name is also Simon, so we can get those confused, but Peter's going by Peter, not Simon here. So Peter and Simon are home. Peter's upstairs, bewildered out of his mind, and Simon is in the home somewhere when they receive unexpected company, Romans. To a Jew, which both Simon and Peter were, a visit to their house by Romans was not only frightening, it was also defiling. Romans were Gentiles for the most part, and if an unclean Gentile entered a Jewish house, it would defile it. In the same way, a Jew entering a Gentile home would defile the Jew. Not to mention the fact that Roman soldiers were greatly feared by the Jews because of their disdain for them and their harsh rule over the Jews. So these are not welcomed guests. Now Simon, a man we really don't know a lot about, has a very important man in his house, Peter. And under the custom of the day, the homeowner who had a guest in his home was responsible for that guest's safety and provisions. If Peter came into Simon's house, Simon was expected to care for Peter. Now, Simon sees three Romans outside his house, one a soldier, calling for Peter. He must have felt terrified. Why would the Romans want Peter? How can I protect Peter against him? It was his responsibility. Bad day for Simon. Notice, we don't even read about a response from Simon. He was probably in a trance of fear, standing there staring at them. Verse 19, and while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. So the Holy Spirit tells Peter about the men and instructs Peter to go with them, adding, I have sent them. These are from me, Peter. Verse 21, and Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, that's a Roman soldier over a company of 100 men, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say. Wow. A Roman centurion, reputable among the Jews and a believer, wants Peter to come and share the gospel, and the centurion was directed by an angel to come to Joppa and search out Simon's house and scoop up Peter and bring him to the Roman's house? An unclean house with unclean people inside? Oh, now I get the vision. Verse 23, so he invited them to be his guest. The next day they rose and went away with him, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied them. I'm not sure how happy Simon was that Peter invited Romans into his house, because now Simon was responsible for them too. Not to mention the fact his house was defiled, but that's the way God rolls. Verse 24, and on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And this is something that happens in Scripture. We see it. When a person encounters a holy man or an angel, they drop down to worship them. And this is understandable, but it's very inappropriate. We worship God and only God. So Peter politely lifts up Cornelius and refuses the worship. Verse 27, and as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. In other words, this is defiling me, people. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. There's a good one for the church. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. The Gentiles now are ready to hear the good news. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he has sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, going back to Acts chapter 1:8, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now, this was common knowledge to both Jew and Gentile in that area that Jesus was a healer, performed miracles, delivered people from demonic oppression and more. Jesus' name was circulating far and wide during his ministry. And Cornelius also knew that the Jewish leaders had Jesus crucified. That was common knowledge around Israel as well. But did Cornelius understand Jesus was raised from the dead? Maybe he got word, and if he did he believe it? So Peter confirms the resurrection as an eyewitness. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to all the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Jews and Gentiles will be part of the judgment, and Jesus will be the judge. Verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now the Jews would be very familiar with the prophets. They were men and women who spoke the words of God as God gave them utterance. They were a big part of the Jewish religious institutions. The law and the prophets were very important in their culture. But Cornelius was not Jewish. Although he was a man who feared God, in the good way, that is obeying God out of an understanding that God is God and we're all sinners who are only here because of his mercy. But did Cornelius have a basic understanding of the plan of God from Genesis to Malachi, in other words, the Old Testament? We don't know. But what happens next teaches us something important. Verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit Jesus spoke of in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit is not to make people speak in tongues, is to make people into witnesses for Jesus. My witnesses, he said. It didn't take a proper bloodline, the Jewish lineage, or vast knowledge of the law and the prophets. It didn't take education or morality. What it took was what Cornelius had, real faith. And that real faith changed the history of the world by showing Peter and those brothers with him that the family of God does not exclude anyone who has real faith. Thank you.